popular belief, and Robert Mitchell's malicious rumours. That is not coffee. That is peppermint tea. It's, I know it's New Age-ish, all right, but it does help the throat. So, Pastor Al, if you're looking at this, it is peppermint tea. You may not believe me. But again, thank you for the opportunity to come down and be with you. And I'm looking forward to an official inspection of the new building, whenever that may be. And be wonderful when, well, first of all, be wonderful to have all the church people back in church. That'd be handy. And then to have the new building opened. And Pastor Al has already given me an official invitation to have a play on the piano. So you never know. I might have to practice for the first time in my life, but I try not to practice too much. But it's good to be here, and let's take our Bibles, please. Exodus chapter 15. So my aim this evening is to be very brief. So that's what my aim is. But normally you don't get your aim, okay? You don't, you know, one fellow said, he said, I aim to preach for 15 minutes. That's what I've never done it, but that's my aim. But, and isn't it good to see all the boys and girls down on the second row here? That is really cool. And see them all sitting up straight there listening to the message. That is so cool. And it's good to see that Levi is still awake down there that I can see at this stage. That's really cool too. All right, Exodus chapter 15. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is the vine tree more than any tree, or than a branch which is among the trees of the forest? Shall wood be taken thereof to do any work, or will men take a pin of it to hang any vessel thereon? Behold, it is cast into the fire for fuel. The fire devoureth both ends of it, and the midst of it is burned. Is it meat for any work? Behold, when it was whole, it was meat for no work. How much less shall it be meat yet for any work, when the fire hath devoured it, and it is burned? Therefore thus saith the Lord God, as the vine tree among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for fuel, so will I give the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And I will set my face against them, and they shall go out from one fire, and another fire shall devour them. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I set my face against them. And I will make the land desolate because they have committed a trespass, saith the Lord God. And I want to speak to you this evening on last day's fruit. Last day's fruit. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day. And we appreciate it so much, your kindness and faithfulness to us every day. Lord, we meet here, and I'm sure every single person here this evening in the building, and every single person that is watching the internet feed, has a spiritual need of some description. And dear Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will take the words of God and what I say, Lord, as your vessel this evening, and may I say the right things, and may the Spirit of God take, especially the Word of God, your revealed Word, and make it come alive to us this evening. Speak to us, meet us at our point of need, each one. We pray for the filling of the Spirit of God for that task this evening. And we'll be careful to give you thanks and praise. We pray believing in Jesus' name. Amen. I have been fortunate enough to travel to a number of places in the world. I tend to go back to the same places, even though I've done 78 overseas trips, spent about 5 years of my life overseas. But I have been to some fairly spectacular places, and I've driven through this Sequoia National Park in Northern California. I've also been to Yosemite National Park, but the Sequoia National Park is quite amazing. And I actually made a big mistake one day. I was driving through there. My hire car was a convertible, and I had the top down. It was a beautiful day, and I got some I think it was spaghetti bolognese to eat somewhere at a park there. And I pulled over to have a look at a vista in the park, and out popped a black bear. And now this bear was brown, but it was a black bear. Does that make any sense? Because sometimes black bears are brown. Anyway, that's the truth. It was a black bear that was brown, and I could see that he was sniffing, and he could sniff my spaghetti bolognese in the car. And so I thought, I need to get out of here. And so I just put the foot down and zoomed away. Did I ever tell you that story? I don't think I did. It was true, though. I wasn't dreaming it. But the thing about the Sequoia National Park is they've got these huge, great trees, some of the world's largest trees. Not the tallest in the world, but they are just gigantic. One of the trees, I don't know if this one is still standing. I think it is. But you can actually drive a car through the tree. They've made a cutout into the tree. Don't ask me why, but they did. They just cut this tree and it's still standing, and you could drive a car through it. Huge trees. And then many times, I've been there with Robin on a number of occasions to Rotorua in New Zealand, and about, oh, maybe 5-10 minutes drive east of the city, there's the redwoods in New Zealand there, and the incredible stand of redwood trees that just go up to the heavens. And you get under those trees, and it's just, you're walking on these this mat work of needles, and it's always quiet. It's a spectacular part. Whenever I go to New Zealand, especially Rotorua, I always try to make it a priority to go and to spend some time walking through the redwoods there. But you know, God was speaking to the prophet Ezekiel about not a redwood or a sequoia, or not even the cedars of Lebanon, but about a vine, a grapevine. Now, you know, Israel was not this spectacular nation, like they didn't have the cedars of Lebanon. But what they did have at one stage in the history of the nation of Israel was the blessing of God. And at one stage, you would say they were a fruitful nation. Now, they're often seen as a vine. A vine. You know what a grapevine is useful for? It's useful for one thing, and that's growing grapes. That's what a grapevine is useful for, growing grapes. But if that grapevine is not producing grapes, if it's not a fruitful grapevine, then it is completely useless. And God said that through to Ezekiel. He said, shall any wood, verse 3, be taken thereof to do any work? In other words, no, you can't use a grapevine for wood. There's not enough wood in it. He said then, verse 3, or will men take a pin of it to hang any vessel thereon? No, you can't even make a clothespin out of a grapevine. Like at least another tree, if you cut it down or it's not growing, at least you can do something with it. But with a grapevine, if it's not producing fruit, it's useless. Behold, it is cast into the fire for fuel, and the fire devoureth, and the ends in the middle. And he says, when it was whole, it was, verse 5, when it was whole, it was meet or proper for no work. You couldn't do anything with the grapevine work-wise. If it wasn't producing fruit, there's nothing you could do with it. Or you could burn it, and even less work could be done with it. What was he saying here? He's saying, listen, Ezekiel, the nation of Israel is supposed to be a fruitful nation. They don't have to be the biggest, they don't have to be the grandest, but they're the nation, they're my people, and they're the people that I've blessed. It was said, it was prophesied of Joseph that he was a fruitful bough. Genesis 49, he's a fruitful bough. This was Jacob speaking. It's a fruitful bough. And through part of the history of Israel, they were a fruitful nation. They weren't the biggest nation. They weren't the most spectacular nation, but they had the blessing of God. But once they got away from God, they became like a fruitless grapevine, which literally is good for nothing. It can't be used as anything. You know, as Christians, we don't have to be the most spectacular, we don't have to be the smartest, or the richest, or the most powerful, or the most influential, or have the highest profile. You know what Christians need to do? We just need to be fruitful. We just need to be fruitful. All right, take your Bibles, come over to John chapter 15, please. John chapter 15. This is the famous chapter. The Lord Jesus is teaching here his disciples. He says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Look down at verse 8. We could say a lot about this chapter. There's so much teaching here. Verse number 8. This is what the Lord Jesus says. He said, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. How is God glorified in the life of his children? When we bear fruit. When we bear fruit. So let me give the application right at the start here. Are you a fruitful Christian? Are you a fruit-bearing Christian? There is nothing as sad, there is nothing so sad as a barren Christian. Four quick points this evening and we'll close. Here's the first one. The necessity of fruit-bearing. The necessity of fruit-bearing. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Now, what is the fruit of a Christian? What is the fruit of a Christian? Now, Galatians 5, we know it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so on. We teach kids that. We learn about that. So, strictly speaking, that is the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, they're the attributes of God. You know what's natural to us, to our flesh? The works of the flesh. And there's a whole big list there in Galatians chapter 5. The stuff that we find easy to do. But the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith, that's the stuff that is natural to God, but that we can have worked out through our lives when we are filled with the Spirit of God. Galatians chapter 5, it's all about that. He says you started the Christian life through the Spirit of God. Well, you've got to keep going. You walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. And when we walk after the Spirit and the Spirit of God fills us day by day, be ye filled with the Spirit and keep on being filled by the Spirit of God, then we can have the attributes of God worked out through our own lives. But strictly speaking, those things are the work of the Spirit. And I think that is part of being a fruitful Christian. Having the fruits of God, the fruits of the Spirit, worked out through our lives. But going back here to John chapter 15 and verse 8, really the fruit of the Spirit is people. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. So shall ye be my disciples. How are you a disciple? By being a fruit bearer. Now keep a bookmark there. Come over to Matthew in chapter 28. Matthew 28, you most probably all know these verses. Matthew 28. Verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. In other words, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Very interesting, in verse 19, the word teach there comes from exactly the same word as the word disciples in John 15, verse 8. So shall ye be my disciples. And what do disciples do? The disciples make disciples. They teach the gospel. And that's obviously to people. What is the fruit of a Christian? The fruit of a Christian is other Christians. And not just other Christians, but other fruit-bearing Christians. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. It's not just a piece of fruit. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, a fruit-bearing fruit. So that's what fruit-bearing is all about. It's not just winning someone to Christ. That's the first step. But it's discipling them and teaching them all things that we've been taught so that they can go and do the same thing. That's what fruit is. That's why fruit has seeds, because it's not just a bit of fruit. That fruit has seeds, and from that seed comes more fruit. So winning souls in our New Testament times is not just witnessing, it's follow-up, it's discipleship, it's reproduction. And the fruit of a Christian is another tree, not just another piece of fruit. What is the fruit or the fruitfulness of the young family? Well, kindness, hopefully, charity, life skills, character, all those things that, you know, you want your kids to have. And if my kids have any of those things, they've obviously got it from their mother. If they have corny jokes, they get it from their dad. Hopefully my boys have some form of dad joke ability. And they get that from me. But what really is the fruit of the young family? I'll tell you what the fruit of the young family is. We've got, I want to come out from this pulpit, but I can't. It's all right, Peter, I'm going to stay here, okay? You've got to chain me to this pulpit. I hate pulpits, I really do. I know you've got to have them, I understand that. You've got to have somewhere to put your Bible, I understand that. What was I saying? That's right. What is the fruit of the young family? All right, you've got Jesse, David, Grace, and Sarah. Did I get those right? Okay, and then you have Alex, Nick, Harry, Ted, Molly, Anne, and Junior. There's another one on the way. Eusebius, or, well, we don't know whether it's he or she, do we? Theophilus. Theophilus. Florence. We don't know. So soon, hopefully, there'll be seven very soon. So that is the fruit of the young family. Not just kids, but grandkids. And, Alex, our oldest grandson, turns 13 this month. Now, you're looking at me and you're saying, you're not old enough to have grandkids. I know, I understand that. But it's the truth, okay? My wife does not look old enough to have grandkids, but you're saying I look old enough to have great-grandkids, okay? But what is the fruit of the young family? It's more kids, who have more kids, who have more kids. That is the fruit. What is the fruit of a Christian? So shall ye be my disciples. And that word, as I said, disciples, it's just the noun form of that same word in Matthew 28. Go ye therefore and teach, make disciples of all nations. The Great Commission is basically missions 101. It's spiritual reproduction. And we all have to play a part in that. We all have to play a part in that. If we think, well, yep, the pastor, he's got to be a fruit bearer there. The missionary, well, yeah, and the evangelist, they've got to be out. They've got to be reaching people for the Lord. And you know, it'd be handy, I suppose, if the deacons. But no, it's a job for every Christian. You see, we can all reach someone. There's someone we can all reach that someone else cannot reach. There's people at your work. There's people at your school. There's people at your uni that you come in contact with that everyone else doesn't. And that becomes your mission field. So we all need to play our part in fruit bearing. So there's the necessity of bearing fruit. There's the necessity of purging. We won't spend a lot of time on this point. Verse 2 of chapter 15, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. That's the bit I don't like. This is the bit of the outline I'm not real keen on. You know, the Lord says, if you bear fruit, I'm actually going to purge you so that you'll bear even more fruit. Now, it's interesting. I looked up what purging means there. Purging is getting rid of hindrances to growth. It's not getting rid of fungus and insects, but it's getting rid of stuff that's not necessarily bad, but it's not conducive to growth. I know my wife is the green thumb in the family. I'm useless when it comes to plants. I like to eat plants, like to eat veggies, but I'm not much good at growing them. But Robin is very good at that, and she knows when you get when you're growing tomatoes, the little, what do you call the little ones in the middle? You've forgotten. She's forgotten. You know when you're growing tomatoes, there's that little, the little runner comes up in the middle. What's that called? I don't know. But you've got to pull them off. A sucker, is it? A sucker. Yeah. Something like that. You've got to pull that off. And your rose bushes. Again, from what I understand, when it comes time to prune those roses, you've got to cut them back to almost nothing. You say, but they were producing fruit. Yeah, but you've got to keep cutting them back. So they'll produce more fruit. And sometimes God allows us to go through, what would we say, the furnace of affliction, maybe. We all go through hard times. And if you haven't gone through hard times, I mean really hard times in your life, you will. It might be health-wise, it might be financial hard time, it might be emotional or mental, it could be family-wise, it could be, who knows, it could be occupational. We go through these hard times. Why? Well, we need to find out why we are going through hard times. Sometimes it's for sin, but it's not always for sin. Sometimes it's just for purging. God says, yep, you're bearing fruit, but I need to purge you. I need to put you through a bit of affliction here so that you'll bear more fruit. I can see that in my own life when I've gone through times that were really, really difficult. Like I share, I'm not going to do this tonight because I want to finish soon, but you go through these times, you think, Lord, what are you doing? I'm trying to serve you. I'm trying to serve you. I'm trying to be humble. I'm trying to be faithful. And the Lord says, no, it's fine. I understand what you're doing. I need to purge you because I want you to be more fruitful than even you are at the moment. So just remember that if you're going through a hard time at the moment, that could be for a number of different reasons. It could be sin, it could be stubbornness, it could be pride, it could be whatever. But it may just be that God is purging you so that you will become more fruitful. Then there's the necessity of sowing. Let me read to you here from Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We can look at those promises of God two ways. I mean, sure, you'll reap, if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap destruction. But if we sow to the Spirit, that which is spiritual, yes, God will bless that. And we must just be careful and be faithful in sowing. That's why Christians need to always be sowing the seed of the gospel. Every week, it's everyone's job. Get some tracts. Stick them in your pocket. Ladies, stick them in your handbag. And when you go to Woolies, when you go to the servo, when you go to school, when you go to work, you've got to give tracts out. That's kindy stuff. That's the first thing. You say, I can't do that. Well, it's not that hard. You just take a tract out and say, here, can I give you something to read? That's it. You say, but what if they punch you? Well, I've given out tens of, maybe hundreds of thousands of tracts. I don't know how many. I've never been punched. And I'm not that good, not pretty to look at, you know. They may have wanted to punch me, but it's never happened. You say, man, that's really hard. Well, no, it's not really. Give out some gospel tracts. Invite people to church. Hey, what are you doing on Sunday? You need to come to church. Why? Well, you just need to come to church. I'll pick you up for church. I'll take you out for lunch afterwards. Invite people to church. Sow the seed. It's a job for all of us. We have, you know, we have the seed. We have the Word of God. We have there's no limit on the amount of Bibles we have and tracts we have and church invites. Get the seed out there. You know, it's all well and good for a farmer to have, you know, 1,000 tons of seed in his silo, but that's not doing much good in the silo. It needs to be out in the paddocks. There's the necessity of sowing. And then lastly, we must keep the main thing. You know, so often we get distracted with stuff that is not necessarily bad. It's not necessarily bad stuff, but it's stuff that's not the priority. The priority for the Christian is to be fruitful. Someone made this statement, and I don't know who it was. I remember hearing this back in the 1970s. But they say this: the good is often the enemy of the best. The good is often the enemy of the best. And as churches, we can, and as God's people, we can put our time into stuff that is really, really good, but it's not necessarily the best. We live in the last days, and we can spend our time doing many things, but we need to be fruit bearers. We need to be fruit bearers. You know, the time is really short. One of these days, the trumpet's going to sound and God's people will be gone. That's it. Jesus said, you work when it's daytime because the night comes. When it's nighttime, you know, figuratively speaking of the world, when that darkness comes on the world, we're out of here. It's too late to be a fruit bearer then. We need to be fruit bearers now. If you're not involved in a ministry, One Way or Sunday School or something. Get involved. That's a way of sowing the seed. A ministry. Get people into church. Play your part. You say, yeah, what about if I just drive a bus? That's part of it. That's part of it. Get involved in ministry. Why? Because we want to see people saved, not just saved. We want to see them discipled so that they can go and do the same things. That's what bearing fruit is all about. So the application is this. We need to get focused on the priorities of life. We need to get clean, make sure that we're walking with God. We need to get empowered. We need to be filled by the Spirit of God. And we need to get busy preaching the gospel to as many as we can while we can. Now, if you are not a fruit-bearing Christian, become a fruit-bearing Christian. Get before the Lord and say, Lord, how can I be a fruit-bearing Christian this week? Now, you may not be reaping this week. You might be sowing. That's fine. Because the Bible says, just keep sowing. Because if we keep sowing, eventually we'll reap. Eventually we'll reap. So if you're not a fruitful Christian, get on your knees before the Lord and say, Lord, I want to be a fruitful Christian. And if you were a fruitful Christian, but you're no longer a fruitful Christian because you've got all this other stuff coming to your life that's taken priority, well, you need to get back to being a fruitful Christian. Remember what the Lord says. This is Jesus speaking. He said, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. That's how we glorify God, by being a fruit bearer, by being a fruitful Christian. Let me give the application again. Are you a fruitful Christian? Are you playing your part with the Great Commission to get the gospel out to the people around Bendigo or wherever you, part of Australia you live? Are you playing your part? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. And Father, we sometimes have to, Lord, take note of maybe some hard sayings and look at our hearts as to what are our priorities and how much time we give to stuff that doesn't really matter. And I pray, Lord, that in these last days before the trumpet sounds, and surely the rapture is going to happen soon, dear Lord, may we be as they were, dear Lord, in the book of Romans, addicted to the ministry, addicted to winning souls, addicted to sowing the seed of the gospel, addicted to follow-up, addicted to making disciples. Please, Lord, encourage our hearts, Lord, to be about the Lord's business in these last days before Jesus comes. Thank you for our time in the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen.